Program here tonight at the time of, I don't like that word program because, you know, that's what they call TV programming. But anyway, welcome to the live church service or whatever we want to call it tonight, live ministry meeting, fellowship, whatever we're going to call it, something. But thank you for tuning in tonight. Here we are on the, what day is it, the 14th already, halfway through the month tomorrow. And we're glad to be with you again on this Friday night for 2 hours of sharing what the Lord will have us to share with you, and also getting into some deliverance tonight, as well as some news here, which we're going to go ahead and start the news right now, share a little bit of things that are going on. In 2 years, Montgomery County, the largest school district in Maryland, went from went a 582% increase in gender conforming, non-conforming students, right? And the majority of those students are middle school and below. Now, what is going on there? That's right. They went from 35 to 239 students that are claiming to be gender disoriented, and middle school and below. And wow, if you know, if parents don't protect their children, if they don't know how, if they're not Christian, obviously they're quite open to evil spirits at that age. And many of the spirits that adults deal with, they picked up when they were children and when they were teenagers. And so when parents don't know how to do spiritual warfare, they're not even born again, then what do you expect is going to happen to the children? They're open game for demons. And when they put them in a government school system where all manner of demons hang out, because they know that they can get on these children and these teenagers and wreak havoc in their lives, they know they can get away with that because they know that the children are defenseless almost. If they don't know the Lord and their parents don't know the Lord, so what do you think is going to happen? It's not a wonder to see this going on when we're living in a country of confusion, because there's a lot of confusion going on today because of that, because of the LGBTQ and all of that agenda there. Okay, so anyway, that's news there, and I regret it every day, a new survey said. That's right. This woman says, I regret it every day. In fact, many women say that, but I regret it every day. New survey revealed the extent of post-abortion trauma. It's not cool like they try to convince the public that it is. In fact, many women were traumatized by a medication abortion, an experience they said was far more painful physically and emotionally than they had ever imagined. And this, and now Yahoo's saying abortion is the answer to the national diaper shortage. Really? That's really pretty sick that you know where they stand. They don't care about life, obviously, to say some silly comment like that. So we're living in some times with there's a lot of sadness being these women that get these abortions and then they regret it every day, they're saying. Wow. Yeah, well, a new movie coming out here that just came out, Hocus Pocus 2, a make of an original Hocus Pocus movie. But they released a spell book for aspiring Salem witches to accompany the movie, Hocus Pocus. So, and now, of course, this is the time of year that they think they could do that, and they think that it's cool to do that. And, yeah, it just brings more people into bondage, opens them up to more demons. The devil's all for that, I suppose. He is. Yeah, of course he is. And so they've released witchcraft books. Compromiser Max Licato affirms Mormon Glenn Beck as a believer. Really? I didn't think Mormons were true believers. In fact, I know they're not, because I used to pastor a Mormon town where there was mostly Mormon people there. They had the majority population there, and I knew Mormons, and they were not Christians. They were not born again at all. I mean, how can you be born again if you believe that Jesus and Lucifer are on the same level, that they were brothers, and that Jesus is not God? And that God is one of many gods who has many wives and continually making those wives pregnant is their beliefs. And that men will get to do that on their own planet to populate their own planet in the future. That's what heaven is to them, that men get to have many wives and make many babies. And so does that line up with the Word of God? Not at all. But see, that's what it is. It's a cult. And for Mac Lucado to affirm Glenn Beck, a Mormon, as a believer, something's wrong there. Somebody's not reading the Bible. Somebody doesn't know the truth about Mormons. You know, before you affirm him as a believer, as a fellow believer, put him on the same page as you, you better find out what they believe. You better find out what Glenn Beck believes. You better find out what these Mormons believe. Anyway, Kirk Franklin, who won the Dove Award as a Christian rapper singer, says Jesus will bow down to the goat. That's right. He said the lamb and lion will bow to the goat. So you know what the goat stands for, Satan. So what's wrong with him? And he put out his album with a lot of cussing in it as a Christian, supposed Christian. He's pro-choice, and he paid for a girlfriend he impregnated to get an abortion. Another probable fake Christian there. You know, a lot of people say they're Christians, but their fruit, it's not the fruit of the Holy Spirit when you look at their lives, okay? So you got to wonder, are they really born again? I mean, the devil's going to have a bunch of fake Christians in these last days. Because there's going to be deception in the church, and there's going to be a lot of people being deceived in the church in this later days that we're living in. Saudis released bombshell statement saying that Biden did try to delay oil production where they were going to cut their oil production until after the midterms in a desperate attempt to avoid gas prices spiking before the elections. Well, that just shows, you know, that there's a lot of manipulation going on behind the scenes, and that came out because the Saudis revealed it. And it wouldn't have come out otherwise, but it did come out because mainstream media sure wouldn't tell you something like that, because they're told what to say, and they say what they're told to say, and they do what they're told to do. But Saudis, they're not controlled by American mainstream media. Well, United States buys $290 million worth of radiation sickness drugs. Are they expecting a nuclear war? In September, Brother Beebe, September 2019, Brother Beebe, he was a Satanist. Some of you may have heard of him. And he also converted to Christ in 2019. So he revealed the most recent plan of Satan for the world was to release death, sickness and death through vaccines from the infernal world. That's right. A lot of people didn't know that Satan's behind this. I believe he is. And he also said, let me inform you that according to the plan of Satan, every country in the world must contribute blood to Satan's blood bank. That's right. Every country, Satan commands it to the people that are running the ungodly world system. He commands, is what this brother Beebe said, Beebe or whatever, however you pronounce his name. Yeah. Every country in the world must contribute blood to Satan's blood bank. Every country must fill his cup with blood, Satan's cup with blood. And it's called the Unus Mundus Agreement. And they said they went to this conference, and they got in spiritual vehicles and rode to the conference in spiritual vehicles, and nobody could see them. And then they got to the conference, and they were suddenly visible again. And of course, dead presidents and prime ministers came to the conference and appeared in physical form. And of course, we know that demonic fallen angel spirits. And they were speaking at the conference. And the Satan's will was being, you know, revealed to these leaders and these people that were Satanists and ungodly world leaders. And, you know, the world leaders are Satanists. I mean, people don't know that, but that's the case, according to this person who come out of Satanism. And the vaccines were to kill people so that Satan could have blood. fill his cup with blood, because all the dead people is what he wanted. And from what I heard this week, millions have died from the vaccine, and the number just keep growing. And they're not wanting to reveal the real numbers, but millions have died. I think someone said 30 million so far, but I don't know the exact number, but that's what someone said this week. Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of this is hardcore darkness from Satan's dark realm of his being the god of this world system of darkness. And people don't realize what's going on. And they should realize that we're in a battle here. And that Satan wants the blood of people. He wants to kill people. He doesn't care about the human race. He wants to control it, and he wants lots of blood. And that's his desire. That's the way this evil entity feeds, I guess, on dust. What a mess. Pray against his wicked plans in Jesus' name. Social Security recipients will get an average of $140 extra dollars a month in payments next year, the biggest cost of living increase since 1981. Just keep on spending that money, right? Printing new currency. Well, you've all probably heard about Tulsi Gabbard this week, 41-year-old. On Tuesday, announced that she was leaving the Democratic Party. On Wednesday, she spoke out on wokeism and something slamming Kamala Harris as the rot of Washington, D.C. District of Criminals, right? She's the rot, Kamala Harris, because she knew about Kamala. She knows about Kamala Harris and all the stuff that went on in California when she was over there, and he's just exposing this stuff and talking about it, and left the Democratic Party. Well, good for her. She's waking up. Waking up to the reality of the darkness that's going on here in this country, and people need to wake up to it and not be ignorant of the devices of Satan, right? We can't be ignorant. But anyway, we're going to open up in prayer tonight and get into the Word of God, the good news of the gospel. Good news of the Word of God, exposing the enemy and exalting Jesus, lifting up the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're going to do that tonight, so we're glad you're tuning in tonight, glad you're here with us, and pray the Lord will bless you and encourage you tonight. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for moving mightily here tonight. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for spiritual experiences and spiritual realities and spiritual breakthroughs tonight, Father. We praise you for that. We praise you for your powerful anointing and presence here, Father. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do and what you're doing right now. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for moving in people's lives and delivering people from the bondages of the enemy and revealing the truth, Father, more and more and more, that we will see the truth. People of God will see the truth, Father, and not be given over to lies, as many Christians are right now, Lord. We pray that these Christians that are given over to lies will have their eyes open and come out of the darkness that they've been embracing in Jesus' name. We pray for them to be awakened, Father, to the truth and to the realities of the kingdom of God and the realities of the time that we live in today, that we're living in the latter days, and Jesus is coming back, and it's not going to be that long. And we thank you, Jesus, for that reality, that you are coming back soon. We praise you for that, and we just pray the prayer, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you said a short work you will do on the earth, Father. And we thank you for that short work, and it's getting shorter all the time, Father. We praise you for that. And you even said, unless the days are shortened, no flesh would be saved. So, Lord, we thank you for shortening those days, Father, and we thank you for your soon return, Father. We pray, Lord, for the awakening in this country. We bind those wicked spirits that are trying to manifest this time of year. I've heard of different people having some bad things happen to them lately. We rebuke the devils and the Satanists and the witches and the warlocks that are cursing Christians right now. We send those curses back on their own head in Jesus' name. And we don't receive those curses in the name of Jesus. We send the mighty angels of God to block and sever and cut off these curses in Jesus' name. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper in the name of Jesus. If we rebuke you, devil, you stop it in the name of Jesus. We send the curses back where they're coming from. We send the witchcraft back where it's coming from in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that witchcraft would not prevail. Satanism will not prevail in Jesus' name. But you will prevail and you will be glorified. Satan will not be glorified. He's a loser. And you defeated him 2,000 years ago on a cross as you bore the sins of mankind, Father, and made a public show over the enemy, triumphing over him in it. We thank you for that victory, Lord. Thank you that we're partakers of that victory right now. Thank you that we're more than conquerors through him that loves us, Lord. And you do love us, and you've promised us many great and precious promises, and we do receive those promises as we have need of them in Jesus' name. And we're people of faith, not people of unbelief and people of doubt. But Lord, we're people of faith, and faith receives from heaven. And Lord, we just receive from heaven what you want us to have right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we open up our arms to receive the blessings of heaven, the blessings of your goodness and mercy and grace. And we give thanks to you for it right now. In Jesus' name, we praise you and glorify you. Hallelujah. I ask you to bless the program tonight. Bless the listeners. Encourage them. Strengthen them. Help them to be strong in you and the power of your might every day, Father. And you strengthen them and bless this program tonight and minister through it, Father, to your people. Thank you, Lord, for it's a fresh anointing here to minister to your people by the power of your spirit right now in Jesus' name. And we bind the enemy and give no place to the devil in the name of Jesus. And we glorify you, Lord God Almighty. And we lift you up, for you are good and your mercy endures forever. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is in me, bless your holy name, Father. And we thank you for ministering to the marriages of those who listen to this program, Father. There are marriages that might be under attack. We pray for these marriages to recover all that the devil has tried to steal from them. Lord, I pray for, Lord, reconciliation, healing, and forgiveness to flow in Christian marriages here. In the name of Jesus, and for those who are looking for a spouse, Lord, that you would give them a godly spouse in Jesus' name. Thank you for that. I give you the glory for it. Praise God, praise God, praise God. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to talk about guarding the house tonight. Guarding the house. You are the house of God. You are a city set on a hill, and you are the temple of God. And I tell you what, God wants you to have a greater victory. God wants you to have more of him in your life. How many feel that you could walk in a greater victory than you are right now? How many feel that you could walk closer to Jesus than you're walking right now? How many know that you want more of God and really desire more of him in your life? And yeah, well, this message is for you, and it's going to help you do so. I'm going to give you some truths here that can transform your life. It can bring a light on areas that have remained unseen to yourself and to others. And there's a lot of unseen areas because the devil don't want us to see the light. He doesn't want us to see the truth about things. So he's a blocker, tries to block things, tries to block spiritual realities and truths from getting through to us. But God wants you free and free enough to change. That's right. Freedom comes through, number one, revelation. You got to have that revelation. You got to have the revelation knowledge. And number two, acting upon your revelation. If you don't act upon it, you're not going to experience the fullness of that revelation. You have to act upon what you know to be true and what God has revealed. Revelation without God-infused action is not enough. It's just not enough. You got to act. Faith without works is dead. Faith without action is dead. You get a revelation. What good does it do for God to give you a revelation if you don't act upon the revelation? Well, say you got a revelation and this is just an example. I'm not saying it's from God, but say you got a revelation that you had some type of a disease or some kind of something bad going on in your body. Well, what now? What you going to do? If you do nothing, you could die. But if you act on the revelation and begin to, you know, pray against it, cast it out, and do whatever, you know, you do your body naturally to bring about health and healing, then you gain the victory. But if you do nothing, you could die, right? You just say, well, that's nice to know and all. I mean, it's bad to know, but, yeah, what am I going to do about it? What can I do about it? Well, you can do a lot, see? You step out in faith and begin to act, see? Oh, yeah, that's important. Faith without action is dead, you know? So I want to dig into this tonight, this critical area of our lives, okay? So we need to realize that you don't know the depth of your own heart and soul. You don't know the depth of it. I mean, you know some about yourself, but you don't know the deep depths of everything about you. Nobody does. I mean, we're in a learning process, and some people don't learn very much. Some people just learn a little bit about these things, and God has a lot for you to learn. Okay, Jeremiah 17:9, it says here, it said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? See, you don't know everything about your heart. I'm not talking about your spirit. I'm talking about your heart. And, you know, sometimes those words are interchangeable in the Bible, but other times they mean two different things. And the heart is not the spirit in many cases. The heart is a transitional part of you between the soul and the spirit. There's a connection there where, you know, the center. But the spirit is the real center of everything. And, of course, that's your connection to the center is the heart. Okay? A man believeth in the heart, which also can be the spirit, because, it's, like I said, you just have to look at it in the Greek and in the Hebrew, what it's talking about. Some places it'll be talking about the soul. Some places it'll be talking about the spirit. Some places it's talking about the heart, which is a connection between spirit and soul. Okay? All right, anyway, that's another story I don't get into much right now. But got to realize, you don't know the depth of everything. Hidden things lie within each of us. Hidden agendas are buried often under good intentions. Actually, hidden selfish agendas lie within everybody and are driven and brought to the surface by various forces such as what? Well, pride, you know. Pride is a trap. Pride is a covering for things that are not to be, you know, they're demons. Pride covers a demon. Pride itself can be a demon. Okay? And it is. Oh, I deserve more. You know? Hidden demons in manifestation. Right? So bitterness. It says, well, they owe me for what they did to me. How many people are bitter today? How many Christians think that you're walking around in bitterness and unforgiveness that say, well, they owe me for what they did to me, and I'm not going to be nice to them. I'm not going to, you know, love them. And yeah, well, what's going on in your life in that area? Ambition that says, well, I must establish my own importance. I'm important, and I got to establish my own importance, and I got to outdo everybody else and be more important than they are. Yeah, these are just areas that will bring the truth out about yourself when you walk in these. Like fear that says, well, I might be rejected, so I better get a strong foothold here. I better, you know, get control of everything here so I don't get rejected. Well, what is that? That's a manifestation of that's showing, you know, what's really in there. Yeah, lust that says, well, I want satisfaction. I want gratification. I want what I want. I've been enticed, so I want it. Yeah, the lustful spirit is manifesting. And it may not just be sexual lust. It could be lust for power, lust for control, lust for being the top dog, lust for spiritual, you know, position, religious position, church positions. That's what's going on in many people. Not just sexual. Bias that says, well, I don't like certain people. Yeah, well, why don't you like them? Because you have a bias, I have a prejudice against them. Oh, really? Okay. You think that Jesus doesn't like people? He hates everybody? No, he loved the world. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to die for sin. Right? And he did. And people could receive that if they will, but not everybody will, of course. The majority is not going to. The Bible tells us that. We have that revelation. We have that understanding from the Word of God that not everybody is going to get born again. Not everybody is going to receive Jesus. A lot of people are going to reject the only way to salvation. Jesus said, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. So there's no other way to get into eternity, into the eternity of heaven. Well, you can get into hell, but can't get into heaven except through the name of Jesus. No other name. So, hey, either go that way or you don't get in. But Jesus loves everybody, but everybody isn't going to receive that love. Everybody is not going to follow him. So we're living in a world where a lot of people are choosing against him, right? Or selfishness that says, well, I should have more and bigger and better than everybody else, and I am more important than everybody else, and everything focuses on yourself. That's self-centeredness, selfishness. And the sad fact is that people can get ugly when their agendas are threatened. So there's so much about ourselves that we have not discovered, and it often comes out under pressure. And demons will put the pressure on so that we can manifest demons, so they can have their way. And they can manifest who and what they are and their natures. And they can cause issues and problems. And they do put pressure on so they can manifest. And realize that people are prone to building their own personal empires that benefit themselves. Oh, yeah, people are building their own kingdoms. A lot of people trying to build their own empire. Oh, the body of Christ would just all be out simply for the building of the kingdom of God. But a lot of people that are thinking they're building for the kingdom of God are building something for themselves because they want to be the center of attention. And they're not called to be the center of attention. Jesus is called to be the center of attention. He's called to be the center of everything for the Christian. But why is it that so many Christians don't make Jesus the center? They make themselves the center. Why is that? You know, I believe the early church has done something that most Christians never did. I mean, they got it right there in the beginning. Acts 2:42, I was just thinking about this scripture this week and thinking on it, meditating on it. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, in other words, reverence, godly respect. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. In other words, they shared their substance one with another. Whoever had the need, they shared it with them. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They had one love, one faith, one baptism, right? One spirit. Praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. What a glorious time. What a glorious church. I mean, we don't see that too much today. We don't see it hardly at all. Church is not in one accord, in one mind, in one love, one faith, one baptism. They're not out living that out fully. And they don't submit one to another. They don't submit to the leader. And they aren't together and don't have all things in common. And yet, what did they do in the early church? The opposite of that. They did have all things in common. And they did, you know, submit to one another. And yet, we should do. And we want to look at King Saul just here to see the patterns of people who are building personal empires and not the kingdom of God. Well, first thing we see, they don't wait on the Lord. They just jump in and say, I'm going to do this for you, God. You know, I'm going to do my thing here, what I believe God wants me to do for him or what I think I should do. And it's going to make you look good. See, Samuel didn't show up on time to do a sacrifice, so Saul just did it himself. He didn't wait, which he knew was wrong. It was dead wrong. Only the prophets were allowed back then to offer this sacrifice. But I'm king. I can do it. I'm tired of waiting on Samuel. Yeah, likewise, there's Christians everywhere who would not wait on the Lord to unfold and fulfill his plans and his will for their lives. And so they just jump ahead and do their own thing, thinking that they're doing what God wants. And they're not doing what God wants because they refuse to wait on the Lord. They refuse to have faith and patience. Just a little faith, but no patience. And so they could suffer sometimes needlessly because of that, because they didn't wait on the Lord. Another thing we see, they did not obey God. Saul refused to obey God and killed the king of the Amalekites. And he kept the best cattle, his sheep. Likewise, people justify what they want to do, even when they know better, because they didn't want to obey God. There's been times, if you're honest, there's times in your life you didn't want to obey God either. There's been times in my life I didn't want to obey God. There's some things I just didn't want to obey him in. Yeah, because it wasn't what we wanted. So we have ways to justify doing it. People like to do that. They make ways of justification for doing what they want to do, and they even call it God, and it's not God at all. See? Yeah. So, did not obey. Another thing is lying. Christians don't lie, do they? Does a cat meow? Saul deceitfully claimed to have obeyed God. That's right, but he didn't. To walk in truth is to give up the control of one's life. Truth demands a subjection, right? Lying attempts to conceal the self-rule, but truth demands a subjection. But lying. Number four, shift the blame to others. The blame for failure to others. Saul blamed the people and the soldiers for his disobedience. Well, look at 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. And Samuel said, "Has the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? As in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He has also rejected thee from being king." And Saul said unto Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy word, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." In other words, he blamed it on the people and being afraid of the people. Yeah, shifting the blame, blame shifting, blaming the people, the soldiers, for his disobedience. Who have we blamed for our failure? Who have you blamed for your failure? And not repeat. The next one, number five, not respecting. Saul confessed that he'd sinned, then tried to kill David. That's not repentance, okay? Not repenting. Saul eventually fell upon his own sword and died, as will all who are self-driven to build their own empire. And I mean, here's the key. Remember, whenever God gives you a responsibility, don't own it. It's not yours, okay? Don't possess it. The kingdom belongs to God, okay? It's his kingdom. It's not our kingdom. I mean, we're part of it, and we belong to it, and in a sense it belongs to us, but it's God's kingdom. We have to remember that we're a caretaker, not an owner. Even though we own our salvation, he's given it to us, okay? And the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the Bible says, too. So we got to get the right perspective. Yes, we've been given authority in the earth, right? But he's still the full owner of it. And, of course, we're joint heirs with Christ. What Christ owns, we own, too. But we've got to have the right mentality about this. Okay? The kingdom can be built without you if need be, right? We're not unexpendable. So we still be saved, but listen, we won't do things wrong and take charge ourselves instead of take the place of the Lord, and take the place of the Lord, then look out, the Lord is on the throne. We're not on the throne. The Lord needs to be on the throne. And when you start seeing all these things, victory becomes possible, though, but not without a fight. But when you start recognizing these things, and hey, looks better, and you can begin to win. Okay, let's go read Romans 3. Romans 3, verses 10 through 12. It says here, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They all are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. I mean, listen to that. There is none righteous, no, not one. They're all gone out of the way. You see that? So what are we seeing here? Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery in their ways. In the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is the normal human in the earth. That's the way they are. So recognize that. So next, don't deify your opinions because they feel right. I mean, everybody has their own opinions, and many times they're not God's opinions. You got to check the Word of God to see. Okay? Check the Word of God to see. Often people's opinion causes them to throw off moral and spiritual restraints. Why? Because their opinions seem and feel right to them. Well, who's influencing them? Sometimes it's surely not the Spirit of God, is it? Sometimes it's a demon spirit. Opinions often lead people to believe that they have the right to judge. And this leads to destruction and the curse. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Right? We don't want to come into judgment ourselves for judging. Realize your greatest threat and the church's greatest threat is human nature. Right, the human, corrupt human nature. I'm talking about it's corrupt because of sin. The flesh, I mean, it could generate an endless supply of evil schemes and plans and desires. And so, yeah, even though they might put God on it and be religious and sound good and self-justified, it could still wreck churches and wreck relationships because it didn't come from God. Right? They came from the flesh, and there's no good thing dwelling in the flesh, right? Next thing is you must learn to daily wage war on your own flesh. If you don't, it's going to have its way with you, and it won't be godly either, okay? Lots of spirits in the flesh in there, right? And part of this is to learn to separate yourself from the ways of the world. How many know this world system is not our home system? It's just temporal, and it's the form and fashion of it is passing away according to the Word of God. So we got to recognize the world system and what it is and not let it be our part. I mean, not be a partaker of it, I mean. Okay? We don't partake of the ways of the world, the ungodly ways of the world. Isaiah 52:11, it says, depart ye, go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that ye that bear the vessels of the Lord. Be ye clean. Those that bear the vessels of the Lord. Well, we're kings and priests, right? We bear the things of God, spiritual things of God now, not physically as it was under the old covenant. So yeah, we gotta separate ourselves from the ways of the world. We're not to go in their way. Finally, give no ground or opportunity to the devil. Who wants to know there is a real devil? Well, who wants you to know that? God wants you to know that. He wants you to learn about the devil. The Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices, of Satan's devices, folks. So, yeah, information about Satan will not exempt you from fierce attack, but it sure will equip you to beat him. Right? Who wants you to learn about the devil? God wants you to learn about him. See? Remember, the Bible gives us some actions that we are commanded to take in our spiritual war with Satan. What are they? Well, number one, stand firm. You got to stand firm. Having done all, stand. And two, put on the full armor of God and keep it on the rest of your life. Don't ever take it off. Right? And number three, run. Number four, fight. See, there's a time to run and there's a time to fight. That's right. The Bible says to flee fornication. That means run from it. They run from this sexual attack and sexual bondage. So you don't fall into temptation in that area. You run. Number five, endure. We have to endure. It's a long fight. I mean, if you don't get in it for the long haul, you know, you're going to fall out during the middle of battle sometime and give up and quit. Some people do. But this is an endurance. And we endure to the end. Blessed are those who endure to the end, right? And number six, we press on. We keep on pressing on. We don't stop. And number seven, resist. And number eight, overcome. We're end time overcomers. We resist the devil. And very important to build God's kingdom. Don't get in agreement with the demons. See? They'll have you building your own kingdom. You get in agreement with God, and God is his word. He said, I've magnified my word above my name, right? That's what he told us. See, sin will happen when you get in agreement with devils. It's that simple. Sin will happen when you get in agreement with devil. Are you in agreement with devils today? Yeah. One or many devils is still going to happen. The whole idea is to lead you into deception and into sin. That's the whole idea Satan wants to do. Is anybody deceived and sinning today? Does a duck swim? Of course they are. We can easily be, you know, kept in bondage by our own sin. Because as the scripture said, whatever overcomes a person, they're in bondage to it. I mean, how many are in bondage to sexual sin and sexual lust today? A lot of people. A lot of people. I mean, look, we're bombarded with sex, perverted sex, all manner of sex from all directions. Okay? All directions, because that's the big thing, is sex, unclean sex, all kind of sex outside of marriage. Okay? And I mean, in the church, Christians looking at porn, lusting after girls and guys. I mean, how many of you have stumbled this summer by looking too much and too long at scantily clad women and men? How many people have done that? How many people look too long until they lusted? 2 Peter 3:19. 2 Peter 3, verse 19. Wait a minute. No, that can't be right. There's no 3:19, is there? No. Okay, it must be 1 Peter that I wrote down. And I accidentally wrote down 3. I mean 2 Peter. Okay. Okay. No. I'm going to skip that. It's just be on guard. Put a guard. Put up a guard. That's right. We need to put up a guard. And if you haven't put up a guard, you need to put one up. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is over, it's 2:19, for whom a man is overcome of the same as he brought in bondage to. So beware. Be on guard, put up a guard. This is war, and whoever, you know, whatever overcomes you, you're in bondage to it. If you're overcome by alcohol, you're in bondage to alcohol. You're overcome by marijuana, you're in bondage to it. You're overcome by lust, you're in bondage to it. This is war. War against you and I to bring us into demonic bondage. And the world has its many, many enticements. You know that the way of the world is enticing. It looks good, but its promises will fail. Yeah, all the promises it makes of fulfillment, I guarantee you they will fail. They will fail you. They will bring a temporary pleasure, but it will not last. So the pleasure of sin for a little season, but the season doesn't last. See? So you got to be on guard against these sexual spirits, see, through these sexual enticements. Because if you're not guarding yourself, you'll be enticed, seduced, and even deceived. You say, no way. Well, tell that to the thousands and millions before you have fallen into sin and temptation and sexual sin and sexual temptation. King David looked upon Bathsheba and lusted in sin. You know, oh, I've got to have her, got to have her. I saw her naked bathing out there, and I got to have her. Oh, my. And he did, and it cost him, even though God forgave him, it still cost him greatly. Yeah, you know what it cost him, that baby that they had between them. And it caused him problems in his own family. And yeah, Jesus will forgive, has forgiven, but do you sin because you can be forgiven? Hey, put up a guard. Don't just put yourself in a position to sin. You got to put yourself in a position not to sin. Like the Bible said, to flee fornication, you run from it. When you're in that position to sin, to follow that sin, you don't let it go on. You run away from it. When you find yourself in that position, you don't just sit there and say, come on, you know. No, you say, I'm getting out of here. I'm running. And if you've been in agreement with Satan, get out of agreement with him. Well, how do I know if I'm in agreement with Satan? Well, hello, have you been listening to what I've been sharing here today? Many of you have been and are to some degree in agreement with the enemy. You've been falling into certain things, just slipping right into it so easily, and the enemy's been snaring you and has you even in bondage to some degree. See, to the degree that you're in deception, that to that degree you are building your own kingdom and not God's. See? Satan is helping you do it, and really you're building the kingdom of Satan, not the kingdom of God. So what I've shared with you today should open your eyes to be revelation. Grab hold of these deep truths and apply them. It will break the hold of darkness in your life and make victory and freedom possible. Don't you want to walk in victory and freedom? I mean, that's what God called us to walk in today, victory and freedom. These truths will keep you from untold heartache and problems. I mean, know that sin can leave a lot of after effects. That's right. I've seen them in people's lives, and I've helped people get through things that were caused by their sins. Yeah. They will keep you from wrecking relationships, from ruining, and from running from God, and from God's plans, and from ruining the local church, and so much more. I mean, remember, it's not all the devil. There are human factors here. And there are satanic factors. And we need to wage war on both fronts and win, because I mean, know that, we're prone to wander. We're prone to sin because of our human nature, the flesh. The spiritual nature is willing, but the flesh is weak, remember? And we need to wage war on both of these fronts. The demonic and the nature of man. And then we can see New Testament Christianity rise up in these latter days before the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's very easy to yield to a weak flesh when you step over into the realm of the flesh into Satan's territory. Very easy to yield to sin. So a key is to keep crucifying the flesh and stay out of the realm where demons dwell and control so easily. Keep your hedge up, too. Don't let your hedge become broken down where demons can just have full access to you here and there, wherever they want to, right? Don't let your hedge get torn down by a weakened condition of which many Christians are in today. They have allowed the world, the ways of the world, the entrapments of the world to weaken them. Therefore, they're easy targets for the demon to bring them into sin. Christians talk about being a watchman, yet they don't even watch out for the subtle attacks of demons on themselves. Oh, I'm a watchman for the Lord. Yeah. Okay, well, where you been? How come all this stuff and lust and junk is in your life? A watchman needs to take care of himself too, right? Need to get to deal with the demons in himself so they could be a watchman and proclaim the coming of the Lord. Yeah, but no, you got to put your watchman up on your own life if we could be a watchman for everything else for the Lord, and you don't watch out for the subtle attacks of the demons that are on yourself. Just like an animal hunting its prey, it could tell when its prey is in a weakened condition, and it will pounce upon them when they're weak or not looking or not on guard. And so we need to stay on guard always. David let his guard down, and he committed adultery and took another man's wife and had the man's life taken as well, murdered. He had blood on his hand. Don't think you're superior to King David. It could never happen to you. Come on, folks. Stay on guard so it doesn't. Resist the devil and demons and go and so that it doesn't happen to you. Get hungry for God and stay that way. Love the Word of God. Love Jesus. Seek Him every day, all the time. Be hungry for Him. Love the Word of God. Love Jesus. Seek Him always. But I want to talk about five more demon areas that devils that are really a hindrance to believers today. You know, one time a preacher met a church member who only came to one service a month. And the member said, "Oh, preacher, your sermons are so good, I can only digest one a month." And the preacher said, "I don't think your problem is digestion. I think your problem is in an appetite." And so, folks, I have a word for you. Don't live as a spiritual anorexic. You know, crave God and His Word, folks. It's not just a once-a-month thing. Hey, don't be like that guy. Hey, we love the Lord. We want His Word every day. We love His Word. You know, His God and His Word is not like chewing gum, which you chew on a little while till you're tired of it and spit it out. He's not junk food like going to McDonald's or Burger King with the children once a week or so, every now and then. He and His words are nourishing, and they're real, and they're powerful, and they build a healthy person, a spiritually powerful person. And you need to be that spiritually powerful person. So what are you doing? Why are you neglecting that which is the most important in your life? Why do you put other things and make Him second place to something else? 1 Peter 2:2-3. It says, "As newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the Word." You may not be a newborn babe now, but hey, as newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So have you tasted His grace? Have you tasted of the Lord and seen that He is good? Is He good? Well, this is not a scripture for spiritual babies. No, it's talking to you. It says, as newborn babies, not to newborn babies. Well, how do newborn babies desire milk anyway? Do they just kind of sit around waiting patiently for mama to come and give them something to eat, to feed them? Oh, we're just sitting around, you know, just twiddling our thumbs, waiting. No fuss, no upset, just a nice, cute, little, quiet, patient baby waiting around for a little milk to fall out of heaven. I've yet to see a baby like that, folks. All right? No. I hear screaming. I hear them getting antsy and getting all ready. I've got to have my milk. I got to have my milk. What's going on here? Don't you know I'm hungry for my milk? Hey, yeah. It will do all in its power to get milk. Got milk, got milk, got milk, got milk, you know, on and on and on. And when you get it, it's meant to be meditated on, digested, and acted upon, and develop a craving for more. Discipline your life to crave Jesus and His Word. There's got to be spiritual disciplines in your life. See, the physical need for food is great example. It's a great example of what our desire should be for the Word and for Jesus. This word desire, is in Greek, is epipotheo, and it means a strong yearning. A strong yearning. Do you have a strong yearning for more of Jesus? That's right. Referring to the deepest desire one can have for something. That's what that Greek word refers to the deepest desire. You know, I saw the story of Sir Ernest Shackleton. Some of you may have seen that, and his three companions. They attempted to travel to the South Pole in the summer of 1908, from their winter quarters, and they set off with four ponies to help carry the load, the food and everything. 6 weeks later, with their ponies dead and their rations all but exhausted, they turned back toward their base camp, their goal not accomplished. And altogether, they trekked 127 days. Yeah, Shackleton records in his book that the return trip was spent longing for and talking about food. Elaborate feasts, gourmet delights, and sumptuous menus as they staggered along, not knowing if any of them would make it, would survive the hour were spent occupied with thoughts of eating and talking when they talked about eating, right? And if you've ever fasted for a while, you can begin to imagine, you know, what it's like to do without food. I mean, this is the way we should crave God and His Word, the things of God. But listen, God gives us through Peter some reason why God's children don't crave Him. I want to look at them here today. 1 Peter 2:1, wherefore laying aside all malice, all guile, and hypocrisies, and envy, and all evil speakings. Here we got five things. Malice, we lay aside, cast out, get rid of. Malice, guile, hypocrisies, envy, and evil speaking. And we're going to talk about each of these for a moment. Malice, guile, hypocrisies, envy, evil speaking. God has shown us that if we allow these things in our life, they can become deep-rooted and keep a person from craving the Word of God. They will cause you to stray away from that craving for God, from desiring the sincere milk of the Word and the meat of the Word. See? They'll cause you to be malnourished and waste away. And too many are because they've given place to these devils, okay? Malice. Malice is ill will toward others, and it's more common than any of us would want to admit or face. I tell you, it is. In the church, I'm talking about the church, not the world. The world has plenty of that stuff. But why should it be in the church? We just talked about the church a while ago. You should see the early church like that. They had all things in common, one love, see? Yeah. Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. When you hold on to those hurt feelings and seething inner angers towards somebody, you open up a door for the enemy to invade your temple, invade your house. You are not guarding your house when you give place to malice. Malice will keep you in the prison of self-will. Let God handle vengeance. Once you do this, something you become free, and you'll find new zeal and joy in your walk with God when you let go of that malice. You get rid of that malice. You cast out that malice. You put away by the mercies of God. You put it away by the grace of God. You get rid of that malice devil. Yeah, how many people walking around with hatred in themselves because of malice? With unforgiveness because of malice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, too many, I'll tell you that right now. That's for sure. Guile, let's look at guile. Guile is deceitfulness or craftiness, planning deceitfully to push your own agenda. How many haven't tried to push your own will and own agenda? Yeah, to push your own agenda, undermining someone else. Undermining someone in authority, going behind someone's back to push your own agenda. You need to examine your own life and root out the practice of deceiving and manipulating others to please yourself and to get what you want. See, we live in a nation full of con men and con women. That's right. Yes, women too have learned guile as well to get what they want when they want it. They know how to get what they want. They know how to manipulate. They have guile. That's right. Okay, remember that scripture that said about when Jesus said, I saw you under the, where was that? That was John 1:47, right? Let's go over there. See, John 1:47. I mean, I know everybody had demons, but this man didn't have the demon of guile. Jesus said, Nathanael saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. He had demons all right, but he didn't have the guile demon. Yeah, everybody had different demons. Some people have the same as the others, but some people don't have the same as others. They have different demons than others. And on the list goes. But yeah, in whom there was no guile. We should long for Jesus to be able to say that about us. Can he say that about you? Have you got rid of that spirit, the guile spirit? Let it be cleansed and purged out of you and cast out of you, and you'll long for more of Jesus, see? That guile will keep you from hungry. He gets in the way. These are walls. These are blockages. These are demonic blockades that hinder you from just getting everything you can of Jesus. Look at it. Hidden hypocrisies in James 1:22. Let me know what James 1:22, it says without going there and reading it. But be ye what? Doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Remember that? Yeah. Listen, folks. Our walk's going to have to line up with our talk. I know a lot of Christians who are professors of the faith, but rather than possessors of the faith. They're talkers, and rather than acting out the word, they talk a good talk, but they don't walk a good walk. A lot of talk. Talk is cheap, like they say, the old saying. Talk is cheap, but action's a whole nother deal. Okay? So, yeah, a lot of people are hypocrites. Yeah, I know many. Over the years, hypocrisy is masking inward evil by an outward show of good, is the definition, or so-called righteousness, right? I remember one of my stepdads, when we were in a religious church, and none of us were saved, but religion, he wanted to show off at church. Yeah, but wasn't so nice at home. He's kind of ugly at home, but in church, oh my, he's so great, want to impress people. Hypocrisy is pretending to love or care or be concerned when we could care less, or we simply don't or aren't even interested. Right? That sounds like politicians, right? Yeah, hypocrisy affects all because it's often something only God knows. See? Other people may not see through your hypocrisy. They may not see through the lying deception of your good works and your good actions when it's not really that underneath, okay? But God knows. Yeah, it may be easy to hide this sin from others. Yeah. Listen, start by being honest with God to purge this out of you, to get rid of this hypocrisies. I mean, then you'll find great excitement and hunger for him returning to you. Life is not a game, so quit play acting. Quit living in, you know, that's what movie stars are, hypocrites, right? Isn't that where you get the word actors and things? I'm not sure, I don't remember, but I thought so. Anyway, envy, next one. Envy is displeasure produced by hearing of or seeing the prosperity of others. Displeasure produced by hearing or seeing the prosperity of someone else. You get jealous, you get envious when you see somebody else be blessed and you not get blessed. Somebody else get a lot of money and you don't get a lot of money. Someone else have the promotion and you don't get the promotion. You get envious of them. Somebody else lives in a nice house, you don't live in a nice house. Yeah, I pastored people that lived in houses for years living in a mobile home. But I wasn't envious of them. I just loved them and I pastored them. And I gave to them and blessed them and served them. See, because I didn't have that envy in there. I didn't have that envy, but I've seen other people. Oh, my, you have something better than me. I got to get what you got. See, that's envying what they got. See, you want what they got. You want to take what they get and what they have, too, some people. Yeah. Hey, if you forget that if you look, you'll see that God has given you your own blessings. Okay? Yeah, he does. He gives us all blessings. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Of course. So often we fail to recognize, though, that as we continue to manifest the attributes of jealousy, covetousness, and envy. Yeah, we need to root that thing out. We need to, again, find that a new craving for Jesus. When that's gone, we'll find a new craving again for the Lord, to be hungry and thirsty for him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, that envy needs to be dealt a blow. And many, many Christians, they're envious. They can't stand it when somebody has something more than they have. Yeah. Yeah, like the churches, particular denominations, several of them, keep the pastor poor and you'll keep him humble. I remember that saying. Yeah. And so, yeah, we've known about being poor, I tell you, because there have been years when we didn't have much, and it was a challenge to survive and keep the church going and all that. There were years like that, and these 39 years of pastoring churches, I've had years of lean and years of abundance, and learned how to abase and abound. We had to believe God for food. We had to believe God to pay bills when we couldn't, okay? But God always provided somehow, okay? And he's been faithful to us all these years. And he'll be faithful to you, too. You're a child of God. You'll trust him. You'll believe him, see? That's the key. Trust and believe and obey, right? Yeah, the next one, gossip, number 5. A National Geographic article said that Tibetans from the nation of Tibet, right, don't eat fish. Since fish have no tongues, they say they cannot gossip. And I know I'm not supporting the Tibetan way of believing and all that, but some Tibetans consider gossip a cardinal sin. Since Tibetans consider gossip a cardinal sin, they reward fish for their virtue by not eating them. Okay? They won't eat them because they believe they don't gossip. And they believe that gossip is a cardinal sin in their Tibetan religion of deception, right? Because it is deception, but still. Just a little example there that they, too, don't like gossip. 1 Timothy 5, verse 13. Let's go read it. 5:13. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers or gossipers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not to say. Okay, this is talking about the younger widows, the younger women. Okay, they need to get married because here they become, let's just read the whole thing so you can understand it. Okay, but the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers, also busybodies, speaking things that they ought not. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. I mean, know that if you don't follow that, the younger women sometimes get in a lot of trouble and the adversary can speak reproachfully about them. Yeah, the devil had his way with them and uses them and gets them into gossip. And too many are speaking things that they ought not to be speaking today. Okay? Too many are. Speaking stuff they ought not be speaking, giving into demons that they should be given into. And the truth is, few things are so attractive as hearing, repeating yourself. You know, hearing it or repeating it yourself. Spicy, juicy gossip, right? Someone said some people will believe anything if it's whispered to them in their ear. That's gossip, right? Yeah, it almost all will admit it's wrong. But how many know that at the same time, almost all people enjoy it? Yeah, there's something in them that just wants to hear something bad about somebody else. They feast on that. What do you think is feasting on it? What is in a person that wants to feast on something like that? You know, what devils are in there that would get off on that? See, so you must be seeing a manifestation of a devil. Right? Enjoying that. It's something in the human nature, something in the flesh, see? And there's nothing so destructible, destructive of brotherly love and unity in a church and a Christian relationship and Christians as gossip, okay? Fight this devil off and your hunger will return. Cast out these spirits of gossip and slander and destroying someone else with your mouth to get them out. And then your hunger and thirst will not be blocked anymore there in these areas. See, certain diseases keep a person from fully absorbing and digesting food. Yeah, well, the spiritual diseases of malice and guile and envy and hypocrisy and evil speaking interfere with the absorbing and digesting of God and His Word and His presence in your life. Hallelujah. You see that? How true that is, folks. How true that is. And I have seen the actual living out of that more than one time, many times, in people's lives over the years. And I've seen gossip at work in churches, our churches that we have pastored over the years. We've seen it at work. I think less in the church in Montana, even though it has a little bit. I've seen it in all the other churches in great measure. And perhaps you have seen that you have a disease today. And these are spiritual diseases. And what are you going to do about it? You're going to stay sick with that hypocrisy, that malice, that envy? If you choose Jesus, then you can confess it and turn from allowing malice, guile, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking a place in God's house. And guard your house from now on against it. Not let it come in and have its way. Not let it slip back in. Be on guard against it, folks. Be on guard against it. Dear ones, beloved. Then do what the doctor told Mrs. Smith on their baby's first visit to the doctor after examining the baby. The doctor prescribed 7 steps here that would help the baby to grow up healthy. And this same prescription could be taken into the spiritual realm as well. See, daily food. So what do? You're taking the pure milk and meat of the Word daily. It's like you feed that baby daily milk and food, right? You're taking that deep Word of the Lord and the milk and the meat of the Word of God every day and fresh air. Okay, fresh air. Well, what does that mean? Well, you pray often or you will faint and grow weary. Prayer is the oxygen of the Spirit, in other words. You pray and you're breathing in the fresh air from heaven. Regular exercise. Be a doer of the Word, not just a hearer only. You put the Word into practice. How many believers hear the Word, but there's no practice going on in their life? None at all, or very little. They're not a doer of the Word. They hear it, and they listen, but there's no doing of it. There's no manifestation in their lives of action. And so what's happening there? There's no exercising of the Word. So what are you going to have? What's going to happen to you when the time comes? You got to have it, and you've not been a doer. You've just been a hearer, and nothing happens. Oh, my, that would be a bad place to be, wouldn't it? Yeah, because you haven't practiced doing the Word. You've only heard. Here is only deceiving your own self. That's the worst kind of deception, as I said before. Self-deception is the worst kind of deception. And that's where a lot of people are at today. Regular exercise, adequate rest. Oh, my. We got to learn to rest in the Lord. We got to learn to enter into His everyday rest, everyday Sabbath rest, relying on God at all times, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding, but enter into His rest. Every day we are living in the Sabbath rest. Every day is the Sabbath. Every day is a rest in Him. Because we've entered in to that rest. And we're getting rest. And you in that rest, you cast your cares on the Lord. You don't carry the care. Your yoke is easy. Your burden is light when you've entered into that rest. See? And clean surroundings. Oh, my, that's a big one, isn't it? Clean surrounding. You got to avoid those places, people, places, and things that pollute and weaken you spiritually. Like I was telling somebody on the phone today, I was talking with and praying with that, hey, you know, just going into a mall, there's such commerce spirits and selling spirits and greed and spirits and all these different spirits, lust spirits that are in the mall that you just have to clean up after going in the mall. You could sometimes just take a spiritual shower after being in a mall because you got to live in clean surroundings. You have to have, for the baby to be healthy, for the Christian to be healthy, need to be in clean surroundings. And I'm not saying never go to a mall. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you will feel the spirits in the mall. They are there, okay? And you'll feel it in Walmart, in the places of commerce. You will feel these spirits in these places, okay? These spirits that will attempt to pollute and weaken you spiritually. That's what they do. They try to weaken you spiritually, to pollute you spiritually, and to get on you if you'll let them and hang out at your place and bring strife into your home or problems into your home. Because you carry them home with you if you're not on guard, see? That's right. So clean surroundings. You don't go hang out in the devil's territory and expect that you're not going to get dirty, okay? You go hanging out in the places of ungodliness and you don't think you're going to get dirty? Yeah. Walk in clean surroundings. Walk in a clean, loving care. Yeah, loving care. You need to receive the loving care of the Lord. You need to receive the love of the Lord. You know, the greatest of these is love. There's faith, hope, and love abide forever. And the greatest of these is love. See, you need to be part of the body of Christ where brothers and sisters will love you, where you can benefit from a good fellowship with brothers and sisters and love. The Bible says, beloved, love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. 1 John, remember? Yeah, love is important, so you got to live in the loving care of God and the loving care of our brothers and sisters in Christian fellowship. That's important. We need that loving care. We need that loving healing. We need that loving ministration of love to minister to us because we all need love. We all need to receive Father's love. We all need to receive love from one another. And we can't really love one another until we receive the Father's love. That's right. Until we receive the Father's love, start walking in some of that love. It's hard to love our brothers and sisters properly and correctly because we're still living in, you know, self-focus. And loving ourselves with an improper love. That's right. And finally, periodic checkups. Regularly examine your spiritual health. What is your spiritual health today? Where are you at spiritually today? Do you know where you're at spiritually? Do you know if you're hungry for God today? Do you know if you're thirsty for Him? Do you know if you're living like I just can't live without more of Him? Have you examined that? We're not to examine ourselves all the time, constantly, but we are to find out where we're at and see if we're, you know, spiritually healthy and hungry for God. And we should do that occasionally on a regular basis, see? Because, you know, you can slip. And you want to know that you have slipped. You may not know that you've slipped away little by little by little over a time period. That's right. So, spiritual health, it's important. So you have a checkup, and you let Jesus speak to you too. You say, like David said, examine me, see if there be any wicked way in me, right? Find out what demons are in there, what demons are ruling in your life, what demons have been, you know, troubling you, and that you've been giving place to the devil in some area perhaps, maybe. And so if you've been giving place to the devil, right? That's right. You need to find out with a checkup, spiritual checkup. You need to go to the Lord, ask Him to reveal the hidden things in your life. Ask Him to open up the eyes of your understanding. That's right. Amen. That's important. Okay? Oh, amen. You need to put a guard over your life. That's so important, because if you don't guard the house, something's going to get in your house, and something that's not desirable will get into the house. And how many know that there are things in people's houses that are not good things? You go in a lot of homes today. How many times when you're looking at homes or going into homes, do you see things that shouldn't be in a home? Even in Christians' homes. I've gone into a number of Christians' homes over the years and seen things in their home that shouldn't be in their home. Right? I mean, things that would, you know, would be something that a worldly person would have in their home. Things that would be occultic or the New Agey and religious icons that would attract demons and owls and frogs and things like that. And what are people bringing into their house today? See, these things will keep you healthy, though. When you need daily food, fresh air, prayer, regular exercise, be a doer of the word, an adequate rest, rest in the Lord daily, rely on Jesus at all times, and clean surrounding, get out of the dirt, get out of the filth, and loving care, put yourself in the loving care of the Father. They'll keep you healthy and craving God. When the garbage is gone, you're going to crave the healthy, right? Will you confess today that, Lord, I've wandered from these areas, and I need to allow the purging of the spirit and deliverance to take place. And will you put a guard over yourself? Will you begin today to crave the consecrated, set-apart life instead of the polluted life, and ask Jesus into those areas of your life right now? That's right, every area, the areas where you put other things before God, lust, desires, whatever it may be, they got in the way, they're a hindrance to you. Put them away right now, today, Lord. Confess, Lord, I've had these other things in the way of you, and I've not been hungry for you like I really should be hungry for you. So, Lord, I repent for that. I turn away, I confess it, and turn away from that, Lord, and I don't want it anymore. Amen. I renounce it, reject it in Jesus' name. Can you do that today? I just reject it in Jesus' name. And I receive more of you, and I'm hungry for more of you. Fill me with more of you, Jesus. Oh, yes. If we're not hungry for God, how are you going to make it through these times? Anyway, you got to stay hungry till Jesus comes. It can't just be a once every year. I'd be all the time hungry for God. I'm still hungry for God. I'm hungry every day for God. I don't understand why believers get so worldly and so caught up in the things of this world that they're not hungry for God anymore. How can it be when you're supposed to love him with all your heart? You know, and you gave yourself fully to him. How can Christians get in a condition of where they seem to love themselves in the world? See, we've talked about this tonight. These things that get in the way of that, in the way of loving the Lord, in the way of just every day being full of Jesus and wanting to be more full and get more and more and more of him. But that's not the case for many believers today, is it? Unfortunately not. Yeah, what's up with that anyway? What do you think it is? Well, I think it's a constant bombardment of the world. Like I said, the enticements of the world, the trickery of the evil one, because he's ignorant of his devices in many cases, and because the things that the gospel, they seem to be just old hat to you. They just seem to be, well, it's the same old, same old. No, it's not the same old, same old. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, that part is same, always same, and it's not the same old. It's a dramatic power that God is the same yesterday, today, and ever. He will love you today just as much as he loved you yesterday. And in the past, before then, I mean, he's the same yesterday, today, and in the far future, he will love you just as much. I mean, that's an awesome thing. That is not just old hat or same old, same old. That's a powerful thing that will set Christians free when they have that revelation and understanding about the Father's love that he has for each of us. Oh, my. You know, they, oh, ho-hum. No, where's the ho-hum coming from? It's got to be from demons. because the kingdom of God is not ho-hum. It's not the same old thing. It's powerful. It's glorious. It's captivating. It's fulfilling. It's the only thing in this world that is fulfilling. And I've done all kinds of things that are okay to do, They're fun things, hiking in the mountains, taking a trip, flying an airplane, all these different things that are fun for me to do, that I enjoy doing. But you know what? None of them bring the fulfillment that Jesus does. None of them will. None of the things that I've done, none of the things that happen in life. So they're nice things and all, and appreciate all the blessings of these different things, but, there's nothing that brings the long-term fulfillment. Even if you go and get your favorite, whatever you wanted at the store, and you bring it home, and after a few weeks or months, it just becomes, okay, whatever, I got it, I own it. And all you could do is use it occasionally or look at it or whatever, but it doesn't bring fulfillment like the things of God do. The Lord brings fulfillment. Father, we thank you for your fulfillment in our lives, that we have fulfillment because we know you, because we're loved, because we've been accepted in the Beloved, because we're one with you, Lord. We thank you for that fulfillment that only you can bring. And I know you've given us many blessings in this life, and we've experienced many things, all of us have, and it still doesn't bring the fulfillment that you do, Lord. I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that in you we are satisfied. In you we are fulfilled. In you we have more than enough. In you we're blessed beyond just anything, Lord. We're so thankful. We're so thankful tonight, Lord, for the time and the Word of God here tonight. We thank you, Lord, that I just love you, and I know that the listeners love you, and I ask you to just bless every listener tonight with some deliverance, too. And we thank you for that, Lord, and you just have your way tonight, and we do some deliverance here in a few moments. And thank you, Lord, for having your way in the Word, even though, I wasn't able to speak quite as loud as I like to speak, but my voice is a little bit raspy tonight. But I just thank you for that, sealed in Jesus' name, amen. And we're just blessed and healed and healthy, all of us. And we're walking by faith every day, every moment, Lord, and you just building us up in the Holy Spirit, in our most holy faith, as we pray in the Spirit. Wonderful things that you're doing, Lord. We praise you for it right now, and we thank you for the time of deliverance here in a few moments as we go there and do some ministry time. Praise God, praise God, praise God. All right, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. All right, folks, we're going to be back in just a few minutes, and then we're going to do some deliverance and cast out some demons. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes, amen. Maybe I'm the only one noticing that, but still, I can. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Okay. Let's see. Let's remember that we're in the back. If you think that coming to Jesus Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No, I'm not losing my voice, Zane. I'm just, it's just I have a full voice. I'm not going to just take off in a long parade of preaching. I'm just more teaching tonight. Anyway, praise God. I'm healed in Jesus' name. I know that. But I want to go ahead and do some deliverance now. This is war. We're going to go against the demons in Jesus' name. We're going to attack them and command these spirits to start coming out. These, some of these ones we talked about tonight, I'm going to go after these right now. Now, this is war, and we're going to win the war because we already have won the war in Christ Jesus, and we need to remember that every day of our lives. Amen? Amen. So that spirit of malice, ill will toward others, glad when something bad happens to them, all that malice, you come out of there in the name of Jesus. Right now, we renounce that malice. Yeah, we command that malice to come out of there, all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, go, 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 go. Come out, 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 come out. Come out of there, all the way out, up and out of there. Go, all that malice in the name of Jesus. Come out of there, up and out, up and out, up and out, up and out of there, up and out. Go, in Jesus' name, we rebuke the spirit of malice. All the way out. Come out, 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 malice, come out, unforgiveness, come out, go in the name of Jesus, go, come out, come out, come out, I bind you, come out in the name of Jesus. We rebuke that malice right now, all the way, all the way, all the way out of there, all the way up out of there, go in Jesus' name. I rebuke you, malice. The Lord rebuke you, malice. In Jesus' name, come out of there. Come out. Cough it out. Breathe it out. All the way. Take a few coughs like that. Let them go. All the way out of there. Go, go, go. Move, 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 move. Breathe them out. Whew, all the way out. Blow those demons out. The Bible says it's pneuma, the word for spirit coming out. You know, the pneuma in the air, in the wind. Come out. All the way out. Go, 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 go. All the way out of there, all the way out of there, up and out in Jesus' name. Come out, malice, come out, guile, guile, deceitfulness or craftiness. We command that guile to come out right now. Deceitful planning to push your own agenda, all that guile, you come out of there. We rebuke guile in Jesus' name. I rebuke the spirit of guile. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out, all that guile, go, 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 in Jesus' name, go. All of you, up and out, up and out, up and out of there, up and out of there, guile. Up and out of there, go, 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 go. Out, 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 all the way, all that guile. Every bit of it from the root in Jesus' name. Every bit of that from the root, that malice from the root, the guile from the root, we pull you up from the root, cast you out in Jesus' name. All the way out, all the way out, all the way up out of there in the name of Jesus right now. Loose them, loose little people, let them go. All the way out, all that guile. Come out, 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 come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Up and out. Hypocrisy, come out. Those hypocrisy spirits, come out. Hidden hypocrisies, come out. Come out of there. All those hypocrite spirits, come out of there, all the way out. Hypocrites, hypocrisy, come out. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. We don't like that word because, yeah, that's what was called the Pharisees and Sadducees. But maybe all of us have had some hypocrisies in us at times. So we got to get rid of them if there's spirits that are there. Get rid of them. Come out all the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out. We break the curse of hypocrisy over our lives. We command it to go in the name of Jesus right now. Come out. Come out, hypocrisy. Come out. Hypocrite spirit. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. I bind you. I break your hold. I apply the blood of Jesus against you, demon. Right now, in Jesus' name, go, 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 all the way out, all the way out, up and out, up and out, up and out, all the way out, all the way out, Jesus' name. Come out, Come out of there, hypocrisy. Come out, envy. Come out, envy. Envy. Yes, envying what your neighbor has. Envying what somebody else in the family got. Maybe someone else in the family got all the will left to them or all the blessing of the parent, and you didn't get anything hardly. Well, just command that envy to come out. All that envy, jealousy, envy, come out, come out, come out, come out. Displeasure produced by hearing or seeing somebody else get blessed and you didn't. Come out. Come out of there all the way out. All that envy. Come out. Spirit of envy. We bind that envy. Come out in Jesus' name. All the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Spirit of envy. We rebuke you. Somebody else gets promoted, you don't get promoted. Somebody else gets a raise, you don't get a raise. Somebody else gets a wife, you don't get a wife. Somebody else gets a husband, you don't get a husband. All this envious, why are they getting all these good things? I'm not getting anything. Come out, all that envy right now. Hey, if you really look at your life, you're blessed, but that spirit will tell you lies. Come out, all the way out. Come out, envy, all the way out of there. Envy, envy, go, all the way up out of there. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out. Let her go. Cough them out. All that spirit of envy, go in Jesus' name. All the way up out of there. All the way up out of there. Go, go, go. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Gossip spirit, you come out. Spirit of gossip. Come out, all that gossiping spirit, slandering spirit. Come out. Talking about other people, running them down, always like it to do that. Go all the way out, all the way out. Talking about other people behind their back in negative manners. Come out, running them down, exalting yourself. Come out all the way out. Go, go, go. All that spirit of gossip, we rebuke that gossip. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come all the way out in Jesus' name. All that gossip, spirit of gossip, we rebuke you. Come on out. Keep coming out. All that gossip, you have to go. You have to go. The blood of Jesus, come out, gossip. Spirit of gossip, spirit of slander, spirit of backstabbing spirit, come out. Come out all the way out, up and out, 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 out of there. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out all the way, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, all the way out, all the way out, go, in Jesus' name, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all that slander, all that backbiting, go, 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 we break your power, we break your grip on people, in Jesus' name, I bind you, all the way out, all the way out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus. Go, go, go. Blame shifting. Come out. Not willing to take the blame for your mistakes. That blame shifting spirit. Always blaming somebody else. Come out. 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 All the way out. Blame shifting. You come out in Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out. Up out of there. Go, 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 go. All the way up out of there. Go in Jesus' name. Come out. 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 Go. Karabashi karabakurra. All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. Every bit of it. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go in the name of Jesus. Blame shifting. Blaming others. Come out. Lying spirit. Telling lies or exaggerating stories. Come out. All the way. Boasting. Telling lies. Come out, 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 come out. Telling lies. Those lying spirits that tell lies. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out of there. Go, go, go. Come out, come out. All the way out. All those lying spirits, go in Jesus' name. Come out. All the way out. Up and out of there. Go, go, go. Out, 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 out. All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, those spirits of disobedience. Tell you to be disobedient to the Lord. Those disobedient spirits, come out, 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 come out. All the way out. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out. Amen. You got to go. So be it. Come out. all the way out. You got to go, every one of you. I bind you. I break your hold. All those spirits of disobedience. Yeah, you got to go all the way out. All the way out of there. Disobedient spirits, you come out of Jesus' name. All the way, building a personal empire. Go. All those spirits that want you to build your own kingdom instead of help build the Lord's kingdom, come out. All the way out. Go, 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 go. Go. All those spirits, it's all about me spirits, come out. All about me, come out. All the way out. Just go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Spirits of paranoia, you come out. Paranoid. Paranoia, come out. Fearful paranoia, come out. In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Come out in Jesus' name. Keep coming out. Keep coming out. All the way out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Go, go, go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Manic depressive spirit, you come out. Manic depressive spirit, come out in Jesus' name. Go. Manic depressive, come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Manic depressive, go. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Spirit of distress, come out. I bind that distress in your body and your mind. Come on, be in that distress. Come out. All the way up. Being in the distress condition. Come out. 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 All the way out. Come out. That distress spirit. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out. Spirit of fear of confrontation. You have a hard time confronting people. Come out. That fear of confrontation. Come out. In the name of Jesus right now. Fear of confrontation. All the way out. I bind you. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Fear of confrontation. Come out. 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 All the way out. Come on. Fear of confrontation. Fear of confronting people. Yeah, you need to tell them something. It's intimidating to you to do that. Come out. That's the demon. Come out. All that fear of confrontation, you got to go all the way out. All the way out of there. Go in the name of Jesus. Come out. 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 Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. Go, go, go. All the way out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus. Manic depressive gone, yeah. All the way out. Go, 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 go. All the way. Trauma go. In Jesus' name, the trauma. You have to go all the way out. All the way out. The trauma spirit, the tension spirit. Come out. All that tension. Come out. 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 All the way out. Dependency, codependent spirit, come out depending on someone else instead of Jesus. That codependency spirit, we break that curse over you. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, 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 out of there. All the way out. All the way out. Codependence is a being controlled situation. I tell you, it's not a good situation to be in. Come out. All the way out. Go, 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 go. All the way out. So all the way out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus against you, demons. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Keep going. All the way out. Up and out of there. Go. 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 In Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. Go. 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 Keep going. Keep going. All the way. A scatterbrain spirit. We break the curse. You've been called a scatterbrain. We break that curse over you in Jesus' name. We break the curse of the scatterbrain spirit. You come out of there from out in the name of Jesus right now. Scatterbrain, come out. 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 All the way. Man-pleasing spirit, you come out. All the way out. Man-pleasing. You go in Jesus' name. Man-pleasing spirit. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Spirit of inability to communicate. You have a hard time communicating with people. Sometimes they don't understand what you're trying to tell them. Inability to communicate, you come out. Right now, that blockage to communication, I bind that spirit right now. You come up out of there. Blockage to communication, inability to communicate successfully, and come out of there, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Go, go, go. Move, move, move. Come out, come out, come out. In Jesus' name, come out. All the way out. We cast you out, devils, in Jesus' name. You have to obey the spirit that's subject to us. You have to come out in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I think maybe I have something just the Lord's trying to give me to give here, Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Lord says it's time to move ahead. He's saying, what are you waiting for? I've been waiting on you. It's time for you to move ahead. You've been holding back. You've been waiting. Why are you doing that? I've not called you to hold back. I've not called you to wait. I've called you to move forward, and I've made a place an open door before you. Oh, why are you not moving through the open door that I've placed before you? Why are you holding on to the old when I'm taking you into the new? My desire to take you into the new, and you want to hold on to the old. I want you to move forward. That's for somebody tonight. You will know if it's you. I've told you before that I am your security. You're looking in the wrong place for your security. I've told you that I am your security. I am the one who's taking care of you. Quit looking in the wrong place for that. Quit looking to the ways of the world, the ways of man, for something that I've already given you, and begin to look to me in my fullness and expect from me the security that I give to my children. And you are my child, and I've given you security. But why look you to another place? Why look you to another place? Why look you to another person to be a security when I am that security for you? That's for someone else. Now, I think I have one more for someone else too, but someone different. So you're on the verge of giving up your hope, and the Lord said, don't give up your hope. Your faith has to work with your hope. And I have not forgotten your request. And I'm going to answer, and I have answered your prayers. But you're at a place where you feel like giving up, where you feel like you cannot hold on in prayer any longer. Well, the Lord says, hold on in faith. Don't let go. You will see the desired result. The Lord loves you, he said. And he wants you to trust him with all of your heart and quit trying to just say it isn't going to happen. Your voice can be your own worst saboteur. Your own mouth, your own thoughts can sabotage the Lord bringing forth his answers to you and the things that you've been praying about and been believing. And don't let go of hope, because hope is the anchor of the soul, the Bible says, and hope that gives your faith something to work with, right? Without hope, how can you believe for something that you have no hope for, in other words? Okay, so hallelujah. Anything else tonight, Lord, for anybody? Yes, yes, okay. For another, I'm getting that you're holding on to some old, you're holding on to some old superstitions, some old things from before, and maybe not from necessarily even before, but from things you picked up from perhaps those that have been around, that you've hung out with, or people at work that you worked with. But these superstitions, I'll call them superstitions, are holding you back, the Lord said. They're holding you back in going forward with him. And you need to let go of these superstitions. And an example of a superstition, if you walk under a ladder, it's bad luck. Or if a black cat crosses in front of the car, if you don't have your rabbit foot, you're not going to be, have a good fortune or whatever, you know. And of course, those are all bad, superstitious, and demonic things, okay? But there, you know, some are not so black and white as those that people hold on to. And the Lord said, you're holding on to some of these superstitions, some things that you picked up from the world, and it's a hindrance to you being blessed the way that He wants to bless you and answer the prayers the way that He wants to answer your prayers and bless you. So let go of those superstitions. I know that you say you don't believe them, but you do, because they keep coming up in your mind and you entertain them at times, see? And so He doesn't want you entertaining them anymore. He's totally, like it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, casting down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself. This is exalting itself still in your mind, and you're allowing it. See, that's the thing. Don't allow it, okay? That's what I believe the Lord is saying. Don't allow it anymore. Because it's something that you picked up from somebody in the world, or somebody that believes that, you know, those sort of things, and their superstition. You know, I remember the day that Christians were, you know, doing these superstitious things and saying, if you'll just, you know, pass this to five other Christians, you'll be blessed. If you'll say this and send it out to five different people, you'll get blessed. You know, I never partook of those things. No, that's just superstitious stuff that is nonsense. Anyway, I'm done. Father, we thank you for this deliverance, and thank you for these words you've given me tonight to share, and seal this deliverance to the people that receive some deliverance tonight. We thank you, Lord, for it, and we give you the glory for our time that we've had and shared together tonight, and we praise you and thank you for moving mightily. In Jesus' name, praise you for all deliverance that we do get. It's good, and we appreciate it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, love you, folks. Praise God. Thank you for being here tonight. And we will see you back next week.
Than the sea. But what is that to me? Got my eyes on you, my captain, and I find in you all that I need to guide me to my destiny. And I felt the wind blow, I felt the power flow, you're undefeatable. I've seen your fire burn, I've seen your keys turn, they are unbeatable. They cannot take my liberty, for you have made me free. They can take all my possessions, but they cannot take one thing from me, because you're my reality. And I felt the winds blow, I felt the power blow, you're undefeatable.
Yes, he is invincible. Hallelujah. Okay, well, that's a lot of guitar there. My, my. That's something else. Okay, wow. Thank you, Jesus. Well, that's the end of another radio service tonight. I appreciate you being here with us. And I ask the Lord to especially bless you in your life, your day-by-day life, in Jesus' name. He will be faithful to you, and I know he is. Sometimes we don't recognize it, but he is always faithful to us. So put him first in your life and see what he'll do this next week. And seek him with all your heart. I mean, that's the key. Sometimes we just half-heartedly seek him or barely seek him at all. But I'll tell you, if we'll just make a focus, steady focus on seeking him with all of our heart, we will see the goodness of God in the land of living. We see his blessing on our lives. I know someone was having some problem with a child just a few weeks ago, and they told me they just started seeking God, just really get it together and seeking God, the husband and wife, and seeking the Lord about that child and crying out for there to be a change. And after they did that for a week or two, the child began to come out of that and became back to their old self again. And the thing was lifting in their home. And, so I think sometimes people just don't seek the Lord enough. They just don't cry out enough for God to show up. And we cry out, we're going to see the goodness of God. He knows we're serious. And we get his manifestations, that's for sure. And he wants to manifest to us. He doesn't want to hold back anything from us. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. He wants to bless us with them. We just have to be serious about receiving them and receive them seriously. Amen. Praise God. All right. Well, good night, folks. We love you. We'll see you back next Friday night. All right. Thank you for being here. Bye-bye.